From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 28th day of March 2011. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois, where he serves as their senior grains analyst. And a bit later in the program, the folks at the Andersons will be here to take up the agricultural cash grain markets. And along the way, we'll hear from Daryl Good, ag economist here at the U of I, about USDA reports. He wants to dispel some of the myths and misunderstandings prior to the Thursday release of the crop production and Q2 grain stocks reports. And don't forget, as we wrap up our program on this Monday afternoon, we'll talk with the folks at Chesapeake Energy about the agricultural weather forecast. The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible in part by a grant from Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123. Or email to Cooley at admworld.com.
In Chicago on this Monday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. The nearby contract in the soft red winter wheat was down 7 3/4 at $7.61. May corn futures at 6.71 were 18.5 lower, and July corn down 17.5 at $6.78. September futures there at 6.31 1/4, 13.5 lower. December new crop, $5.97, down 12.5 in the March of 2012 at 6.05 1/4, down 12.5 cents. May soybean futures $13.48, 9 3/4 lower. July at $13.59 1/4, down 9 1/4. August soybeans $13.58 1/4, 8 3/4 lower. September's at $13.50, down 8 1/4. And November beans $13.42, 8 1/4 lower. January of next year at $13.46 3/4, down 8 1/4. Bean meal finished at $3.53.60 in the nearby May at $3.60 lower. May bean oil at $56.53, down 31. Nearby live cattle, April futures at $117.95, 65 cents lower on the day. June at $116.97.5, down 77.5. And the March feeder cattle at $132.30 today, up 40 cents. April futures at $134.90. up a nickel on the afternoon. April lean hog futures, $92.60, up 12.5, and the May contract at $101.87.5 per 100 pounds. May lean hog futures up 15 cents on this Monday afternoon. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. May crude oil futures at $103.88 a barrel, down $1.52. Ethanol at $2.48.5, a penny and 9 cents lower. Natural gas at $4.36, that's 4 3/10 lower. And the April heating oil or diesel fuel at $3.02 even, down 3 4/10 cents. Gold futures for the March contract at $1,419.80, a settlement price there down $6.30. The Dow Jones Industrial Average up 19.7 at 12,240, and the dollar at 76.12 is down 0.09. The CRB index at 354.86, 4.7 lower, and the S&P up 1.1 at 1314.91. Here's what the weather forecast looks like for the Urbana-Champaign area as it comes from the National Weather Service. They say this afternoon, the sky should be mostly sunny, a high near 43 degrees, northeast winds at about 9 miles an hour. Tonight, mostly cloudy, a low of just 27, east-northeast winds between 8 and 10. And on Tuesday, mostly cloudy, a high near 45, east winds between 8 and 10. They'll gust as high as 15. And Tuesday night, a chance of rain, snow before 1 a.m. Then a chance of snow, cloudy, a low around 31. East-northeast winds between 8 and 10. Chance of precipitation on Tuesday evening is 40%. Wednesday, mostly cloudy in the Urbana-Champaign area. The high near 44 degrees, northeast winds at 8 miles an hour. And Wednesday night, mostly cloudy, a low of 30. On Thursday, should be mostly cloudy, a high near 48. Thursday night, cloudy, a low of 32. Friday, cloudy, a high of 51. Friday night, partly cloudy, a low of 35. And Saturday, mostly sunny skies, the high near 54 degrees. Saturday night, partly cloudy, a low of 36. On Sunday, partly sunny, a high near 60. More on the ag weather forecast when we talk with Chesapeake Energy at the bottom of this half hour. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Monday afternoon. On the phone line with us to take a look at what's been happening in the world of agricultural futures is Kurt Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, where he serves as their senior grains analyst. Good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, last week, like me, you took the week off, and it was kind of fun to watch the markets but not participate completely. I was off the week before, too. So I've been out of it for, well, a couple of weeks. What can you tell me about the marketplace as we head into the Thursday crop production, or crop production, as we head into the Thursday prospective plantings and Q2 grain stocks reports?
Well, some consolidation. There was some positive news and some negative news, and you know, I think we're subject to some ups and downs. When you look at the last 3 weeks, we basically had about $1.30 break, then about $1.06 rally. Now we're in a position here maybe to break 50-60 cents off the high and see what the report brings Thursday morning. Probably the key thing is everybody's getting positioned the way they want to be. I would think that tonight and tomorrow will be lower, then we could see maybe a little recovery as we go into Wednesday night's trade there and see what the numbers show. Probably the most significant number in our minds, the stocks report. It's going to give us an indication of what usage is, and I think that's probably the main number to watch. As far as acreage goes, you know, everybody's got an opinion. Every region has a shift of somewhat, and where the numbers come out will be the benchmark to go by, but the number one factor from the acreage report on is what type of yield you put on, Todd.
Go back to the stocks report. Do you think numbers will change very much, and will it show a drawdown in usage? I mean, in terms of not actually a drawdown, but a slowdown in usage?
Well, from a year ago, it's going to show a smaller number. Last year's March 1st stocks was right around 7.69. The average trade gas is 6.7. There's about a 300 million bushel range on corn there. For the beans, 1.27 was last year's March 1st stocks number. Beans expected to be about 1.295, so a little higher than a year ago. So compared to a year ago, corn usage is up. Disappearance is up. We'll see what numbers USDA puts out. As far as beans go, the slowdown is probably going to be on the export side of the equation, and that's going to be the key on the beans here as we go into the report.
And do you think the ethanol industry margins are still good enough to have them going full bore?
Well, we're hearing that they are. What's adding a little bit fuel to the fire on the ethanol side is Brazil still under the opinion that they're going to be an importer of ethanol. Higher ethanol prices should stay higher with the overall energy values. They've not been in a position to really increase sugar production for ethanol here. That's going to be a longer-term factor. As we move down the road, we'll see, you know, how big of an event it becomes as we move into the spring.
Was there any news today, and I just haven't looked to see, on that shipment of corn that was headed to an unknown destination? Have we figured out, is that China or not?
Well, there's a lot of speculation. That's what supported the market sharply there Friday, then failed to really see confirmation of some additional sales. It's sort of been, or tagging in China has really been negative here over the short term. That's going to be, you know, something to watch here as we move along. It's going to be huge as China actually buys larger quantities of corn, but it's like two kids playing uncle. I don't think they want to, just like one kid don't want to say uncle. So failure to see additional sales or confirmation of some numbers, and also China talking about putting out additional feed wheat in their country there, and also not really confirming they're going to lower import tariffs or taxes to bring in cheaper grain for, say, make it pencil out a little bit better was sort of the negative factor to sort of kick in and follow the hook reversal down in the corn chart we saw there Friday.
Kurt, thanks so much.
Very good.
Kurt Kimmel is with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report on a Monday afternoon. If you do get the chance, please do join me Thursday evening. That's the evening or day on date, March 31st, of the USDA reports. I'll be in Logan County on the Logan County Fair Extension building site. That's in Lincoln, Illinois, along with Dan Zwicker, Jackie Vakes, and Gary Schnicki. We'll go through the numbers. It's sponsored by Logan County Farm Bureau over in Lincoln. That's in the center of the state. It's at the county fairgrounds at the Illinois Extension Building. Starts at 7 o'clock. If you get the opportunity, come over and see us Thursday evening of this week for an Ag Outlook meeting. In today's agricultural news, the recovery in Japan is moving forward. The U.S. Grains Council reports the Japanese agricultural industry has been making significant strides to regain its normal feed mill production capacity and should come up to par within the next few months. U.S. GC Director in Japan, Tommy Hamato, says assuming significant escalation of the nuclear power plant issues will not arise, and in spite of the horrendous losses suffered, the council believes the consumer demand in Japan will remain strong, and that will drive continued imports of U.S. coarse grains. We'll stay on the international and global front, where the Association of Global Automakers has now asked the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency for a rule to prevent the phase-out of E10 in favor of the newly approved E15. National Farmers Union President Roger Johnson says NFU is disappointed that the AGA and the Coalition of Automobile and Engine Product Manufacturers has chosen to call into question EPA's decision to allow E15 use in 2001 and newer vehicles. On to free trade agreements and Panama, the Subcommittee on Trade of the House Committee on Ways and Means will hold a hearing on the pending free trade agreements with Panama on Wednesday, the 30th of March. That, according to Kevin Brady of Texas, he says the hearing will address the economic benefits of the agreement and should bring American businesses, farmers, workers, consumers, and the U.S. economy a better standard. Also, the hearing will examine a national security and geopolitical implication of the agreement, as well as Panama's tax transparency. Let's stay in Washington, but move a bit closer to home now. The Senate Ag Committee will kick off the 2012 Farm Bill season with the committee's first Farm Bill field hearing. That happens the 9th of April at Michigan State University in East Lansing. Committee Chairwoman Senator Debbie Stabenow from Michigan says this first session will focus on the upcoming reauthorization of the Farm Bill, examining agriculture as well as energy, conservation, rural development, research, forestry, and nutrition. The three-hour session will begin at 9:30 a.m. local time at the Kellogg Center on the Michigan State University grounds. A witness list has yet to be developed. We'll move from the Farm Bill here in the Midwest back to Washington, D.C. As you know, the Secretary of Agriculture, Tom Vilsack, addressed food and energy prices in a statement Friday afternoon. According to the Secretary, energy costs are up, not only gas for our cars and trucks, but for tractors, combines, semis, ships, trains, and grains, all of the vehicles that help get food from the farm to our tables. Refrigeration, packaging, processing, and marketing also contribute to the final food cost, he says, in a grocery store or a restaurant. Meanwhile, the cost of fertilizer, animal feed, and equipment are up for family farmers and ranchers across the country. According to the secretary, out of every dollar a consumer spends on food, less than 16 cents goes to a farm or agricultural business. So while many farmers have weathered the recession and are earning strong incomes, not all farm families are doing as well as they might. Small and mid-sized operations in particular, he says, continue to struggle. And on that front, we'll wrap up with some news out of the poultry industry, where the head of Pilgrim's Pride says he sees a challenging 2011 for chicken producers with no let-up in those high grain prices. Stuart Doan of the National Association of Farm Broadcasting reports.
Company President and Chief Executive Officer Bill Levitt told an investor conference that industry overproduction of chicken in the fourth quarter of last year coupled with slower-than-expected demand both domestically and overseas, are making 2011 a challenging year for poultry producers. In addition, he expects feed grain prices to remain at historically high levels.
There's one thing for sure I can tell you about the price of corn, and I'm sure about this. It's going to be very volatile. You know, if you ask me my own opinion about ranges of corn trading the next 12 months, you know, I'm going to say something in the range of 670 to, you know, 740. That's what we're looking at. I can tell you our plan that we made before the beginning of 2011 did not include prices that high.
For Pilgrim's Pride, the number two chicken producer, Levitt said the higher grain prices will add at least $500 million to its raising costs this year. He predicted that broiler production industry-wide will fall below year-ago levels by summer. I'm Stuart Doan reporting.
And I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. Please do visit our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. Coming up this Thursday evening, I'll be at the Logan County Fairgrounds in Lincoln, Illinois, at the Extension Building there, along with Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group, Jackie Bakes from Stuart Peterson, Gary Schnitke, ag economist here at the U of I. That's the day and date of the big USDA reports that evening. We'll talk to farmers. This is a free event. You can come at 7 o'clock at the Lincoln Logan County Fairgrounds, the Extension Building. Again, we'll have on hand with us Dan Zwicker, Jackie Bakes, and Gary Schnitke. Come to the Ag Outlook meeting if you get the opportunity. Now up next, the U.S. is the world's largest producer and exporter of corn and soybeans. As a result, the size of the crops in the United States has a substantial impact on price. During the planting and growing season, market participants form expectations about the potential size of these crops from a variety of private and public sources of information, including NASS. I'll have a report on some of the myths and misunderstandings about how the National Agricultural Statistics Service of the U.S. Department of Agriculture gathers this information. USDA reports seem to be grossly misunderstood thanks to University of Illinois ag economist Darrell Good. It and NASS, the National Agricultural Statistics Service, get a bad rap for no particularly good reason when the numbers for the prospective plantings, the crop production, and the June acreage reports are released. This, says Darrell Good, is because most people have not taken the time to read the methods behind the numbers.
And it appeared to us a lot of people didn't understand how they do that, even though they've documented in detail their methodology. People don't tend to read that. And secondly, some people believe that USDA has a kind of a hidden agenda or a motive for the numbers that they actually publish. So our idea was to review their methodology and then try to present that in a brief layman's terms so that users of the data could have a better understanding of how the numbers are put together.
Well, the summer numbers are most problematic, says Darrell Good, because most people don't understand two statistical methods are used to gather up the information.
One, where they actually survey producers directly and ask them their acreage intentions or actual plantings, in the case of the June report. And then for the monthly yield estimates, they survey farmers and ask them directly, what do you expect your average yield to be this year? But also for those final two reports, the June acreage and the yield estimates, USDA actually has what they call an area frame sample, where they determine before the season starts specific segments of agricultural land throughout the major producing states. And they actually go to those segments each month during the forecast cycle and take measurements of crops that are there and use that data to forecast yield and acreage as well.
It is the combination of those two survey methods that make up each report estimate for the June acreage survey and the monthly crop production reports.
Prospective planting's report does not involve an area frame sample. That is what they call a list frame survey, where they just send questionnaires to farmers directly. There is no field observation on that because it is intentions. There's really nothing to look at that point when the data is collected for the March prospective plantings report.
USDA surveys more than 80,000 producers to gather information on what they expect their crop mix by acre will be for each season. Here's one of the big myths about the USDA numbers. The reports are rigged to meet governmental goals. It is simply not possible, says Darrell Good.
Absolutely not. I think what you would see looking at their methodology is it's a very statistically sound methodology, very objective methodology. And, you know, even if there was some agenda to shade the numbers one way or another, at the end of the day, that bias or that motivation would be uncovered.
The USDA surveys are objective, and because two types of sampling are done during the growing season, those numbers benefit from a composite data estimate. That means the two surveys are done simultaneously to get at the same number. What shortcomings there are in the yield forecast, says Darrell Good, are inherent to the season and really cannot be overcome. He says the relationship between early season estimates and the lack of hard data points, number of corn ears per acre and soybean pods per plant, is not constant as it relates to yield. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Monday afternoon. It is a production of Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Time to check out what's been happening in the world of cash grain. Brian Stark of the Andersons is on the phone line with us. He's from right here in Champaign County. Hi, Brian. How are you?
Hi, Todd. How are you?
Oh, you know, I've recovered nicely, and I'm doing very, very well at this point.
Good to hear.
Took a little break, had a little surgery, and I'm all good.
Well, good to hear.
All those things are fine. It wasn't any big deal, so just good. A little outpatient. So let's talk about what the cash grain market is thinking with this Thursday report.
Well, I think the consensus seems to feel like we're going to see maybe a little bit higher corn stocks than people expect given the demand forecast. So maybe slightly bearish when it comes to corn stocks, maybe a little bit friendly to beans, but time will tell. Obviously, the focus has been on acreage, but I think the stocks numbers are just as important to see how far along we are in the demand process as we move forward in this crop year.
Any feeling from your part?
Not particularly. I just think it's going to be a little bit on the high end of expectations. I haven't looked exactly at the range of analyst guesses, but the consensus is maybe a little bit higher than what people think. The corn pipelines have been full. We just have seen recent bases start to flatten and recover in corn after being weak for most of the month of March. Obviously, the pipeline, as we dry up and we head into spring, will dictate how tight we really are from a stocks perspective. But the cash market along the river has not been acting like we're as tight as the USDA states we are in Indy carry out.
And what are your bids for the day?
Today, we are 663 for cash corn. Fall corn is 565. Cash soybeans, 1333. And fall beans, 1307.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Todd.
And that is Brian Stark. He's with the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'll be back in just a couple minutes when we'll talk about the agricultural weather forecast with the folks at Chesapeake Energy there in Chicago, Illinois.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
Hey, don't forget to join us on Thursday evening of this week. On the 31st, I'll be in Lincoln, Illinois at the University of Illinois building on the Logan County Fairgrounds. That's located right on Old Route 66 in Lincoln. If you have the opportunity, join us at 7 p.m. We'll be there along with Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group and Jackie Vakes of Stuart Peterson and Gary Schnicke from the U of I to take up the USDA reports pricing, the global marketplace, and what producers might and might not want to do as we move through the market season. Of course, the USDA report's due out at 7:30 a.m. on Thursday morning. That's Central Time. And we'll talk about them on the air here at the radio station. You can hear it at willag.org, too. You can also always pick it up Thursday night if you visit with us at the Lincoln-Logan County Fairgrounds. That one's sponsored by the Logan County Farm Bureau. It is free and open to the public.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Monday afternoon. Time to check in on what's been happening in the world of agricultural weather. John Davis of Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois, is on the phone line. Good afternoon to you, John.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
It's a beautiful day. It could be a little bit warmer, but skies are blue here. And not too bad, I suppose. It's that time when we sometimes get snow and sometimes get sleet and rain and sometimes beautiful skies. What do you think will happen for the rest of the week for me?
Well, it looks like a much more of a wintry type pattern than any kind of a true spring-like pattern across really most of the Midwest upcoming. Looks like the colder bias that we're in right now, that continues not only through the end of this month, but into the early portion of April. In fact, we have numerous cold air masses coming down next week and even during the second week of April as it looks right now. It also looks like we're going to get wetter as well as the overall jet stream and the associated storm track does tend to progress northward from its current position, more so down across the Delta, to a position a bit more across the Midwest. So over the next couple of weeks, it looks like we're going to have a cold bias from a temperature standpoint and then an increasingly wet bias across most areas of the belt.
Okay, let's talk about this in terms of Western Corn Belt, Eastern Corn Belt, Delta region, Southeast kind of thing. Start down south for me because I want to know if it's going to be wet there. Their soil temperatures probably will come up fast enough to plant, unless you tell me they're not going to. And then we'll have to deal with cold temperatures and soil temps, mostly here in my part of the world and to the northwest up
there. Yeah. Well, I mean, the deep south, there's been a lot of corn planting taking place the last week or 10 days in places like Louisiana, southern Arkansas, Mississippi, parts of Alabama. That's in good shape right now. The problem is further north, and like here in the northern Delta and on to the heart of the Midwest, soil temperatures are not terribly good right now, and actually, if anything, with the colder pattern here over the next couple of weeks, that's not going to improve a heck of a lot. And that's the wet zone right now, and it looks like both the western Midwest and the eastern Midwest is going to be in this kind of swath of what we call a bare clinic zone, or in other words, the transition zone between these cold air masses up north and the kind of warmth down south. That bare clinic zone or that wet zone is going to be right over the Midwest here as we go into the early portion of April. So it does look like we are going to go wetter.
And then take a very quick look around the globe. Where are the hot spots we need to deal with?
Western Europe is on the dry side and generally will remain that way. Kind of an issue, becoming an issue for winter wheat development and also other winter crop development across that area. Could become a summer crop issue, but more of a winter wheat issue right now. And then Brazil continues to be on the wet side. Probably more of a logistical problem in Brazil than any kind of a real crop production problem. But the movement of their harvest down there and getting those crops in the pipeline, if you will, that are certainly being affected in Brazil right now.
Thank you so much.
My pleasure, Todd.
John Davis is with Chesapeake Energy. He's in Chicago, Illinois, and joins us here on the Closing Market Report on a Monday afternoon.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
The Closing Market Report, of course, is a production of Illinois Public Media. Visit our website at willag.org for all the details. You have a good day. I'll talk to you again tomorrow.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.